and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So 500 episodes, Graham. How on earth have I put up with you blathering on week after week about Leeds United for 500 episodes?
Well, we've done quite well. I think 500 episodes puts us into a very small niche of people, niche of podcasters, because they rarely get beyond about 11 episodes. So, I mean, I think we've done quite well. I think it's we've set the bar really low, Kevin, and we're struggling to make it. But you know, we'll keep trying. But today,
without doing a lot of research, Graham, we can probably claim at this point to be the longest running UK independent UK business show.
Yeah, I think we probably are. Every week we'll produce an episode, and today's episode is going to be all about a subject called answer engine optimization. We've got the best person in the world to answer this. His name is John Bush. He comes from Canada, lives in, well, just outside of Toronto, I believe. And John, welcome to the 500th episode of the Next 100 Days podcast.
I feel so privileged to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Oh, honestly, I couldn't think of a better person, and certainly in my life right now, than you, John. I've got to know John over the last few months, well, a year or so, and he is a remarkable individual, and he's done a remarkable thing. He's created a product from scratch that basically gives lots of businesses an opportunity to get found by the likes of ChatGPT, Kevin, and Perplexity, and Claude, and other LLMs, large language models. John, give us an idea of where all this started and what you had to do to get it finished.
Well, I was born a young lad way back in 1964. No, you want me to start it more recently?
Oh, right. Well, yeah, no. We don't have time for that. I'd cut you off anyway. Okay. And you don't mean you're not that younger than us, but crikey.
1964, Leeds are probably in the third division then.
I don't think so. But go on, move on.
that was West Ham was a really fine club, wasn't it?
It was. They were a good team.
Yes. I had a little bit of an interesting journey to here. So I'm going to try to go very quickly. I grew up in telecom, sort of the innovative end of telecom. I was the vice president of enterprise marketing of Sprint. I left that and invested in a small wireless startup that did actually real-time stock markets on a BlackBerry. And it was really quite a fascinating journey. It went from an idea into an over-the-counter a public offering on NASDAQ. And I spent a fair amount of time at Canary Wharf, believe it or not. So I had a real interesting journey. But I've always had the entrepreneurial streak. And I'm going to go pretty quick, but built a couple of companies in the interim, sold them, did a few other things. But I, in the late 19s, an old friend of mine asked me, would I help him start up an infrastructure as a service and security operations company? I knew nothing about this. I was a marketer. I was an entrepreneur. I said, sure, I'll do it. I got into it and I learned that I knew absolutely nothing. And I think that's one of the greatest things about this journey that we're on right now is we know absolutely nothing. So if you ask me today, kind of guarantee you what I'm going to do is going to get you in the top three in ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever. I would say not a hope. We don't have the stats. We don't have the numbers. I'm a numbers person. But what I can say to you is we're learning how these things behave. And so the reason I talked about that infrastructure company is I had to learn about how the cloud infrastructure, the GCPs, the Google Cloud platforms, the Azure platforms for Microsoft all kind of worked. Did that, we grew very rapidly over the, as you know, what happened in the early 20s, because people needed to work remotely. We brought in an old friend of mine and said, help us market it. And she introduced me into this whole concept where you and I met through Mech Labs. I started helping her with traditional marketing at the time. And all of a sudden this thing called AI popped up. And I looked at her and I said, ooh, your business is going to change. She was about, you know, email direct marketing. She was about content creation. She was about, you know, defining your website, what your value proposition is. You need to pivot. And so I actually spent some time, and I've actually spent almost 2 years trying to figure out what this thing was. And I was in the B2B space. Mm-hmm. And And I really realized what's going to be super powerful is having your data as the knowledge source for these large language models. So it's great that these things can predict and give you ideas and quote your history and everything. But if you want to sell and you want to be represented well, you want to be read. You want to be seen. You want to make sure that your data is the one that they're quoting when they're showing this new little box in Google about how to get found. And through this whole process, as you saw, it was always frustrating not really being a developer, but being knowledgeable enough to know how it works. That I said, "What the heck? I'm going to try this thing called vibe coding." Oh my goodness, you've seen me over the last 10 weeks, what we've been through. But we started with an idea. How do you position your website so that it is the source of truth for those LLMs? And we went through it. We did an analysis. We started researching the data behind it. And we came up with a 36 factor list of things that these LLMs either can't see, how to make them more efficient, how to make them less efficient. So I'm less about the traditional, what you would say is SEO, and more about answer engine optimization. How do I get my answer reported properly in the LLMs the way I want it to be answered? So we went off, we did the vibe coding. I spent numerous hours. I was so successful. Like within 3 weeks, I think I said to you, "Hey, we got something we can launch." And then I realized, this is just dribble. There's a lot of mess. There's a lot of things we got to clean up. There's a lot of things. And I called in an old friend of mine, a guy named Jay Jordan from Prometheus Software, who I bought the first company from. And I said, "Jay, how do we do this together? How do we figure this out?" And he gave me one of his developers, and we've been pair coding, still vibe coding through this whole process, if that makes sense. And we built a pretty robust analysis engine where you can give us a URL, we'll review it, we'll look at it, how it fits from a visibility perspective, an accessibility perspective, an authority perspective, a technology perspective. Right from 0 to 100, we rank your website and we tell you ways that you can fix it and ways to make your content more accessible to the LLM. So when you ask that question, when that other person asks that question in Google one day, you get your answer put up in it. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean,
absolutely a lot of sense, because Google and SEO are rapidly dying. I mean, I can't really remember the last time I went into Google to ask it a question about something. My default these days is to go to ChatGPT and ask it stuff.
I think it's an interesting. I've heard that argument, but I've also seen the statistics where it says Google's actual search volume is up, but it's now kind of shifted from the old traditional SEO, and it's actually moved it into a combination of SEO and AEO.
Yes.
So it's still there. Now, ChatGPT, let's be clear. I think the overall market has grown, and ChatGPT is getting a ton of it. And there's some announcements this week that were just phenomenal. They're going to let you actually build your own commerce and put your own products for sale in ChatGPT in real time. That's going to be pretty crazy.
Where we got to in the last few weeks was John literally burning the candle at both ends, and this product became more and more visible. Sorry to say that in that way, but basically it became clearer, and the kinds of results that we're now getting, we're now at my end with, I teamed up with John and I said, well, I will promote it. We're getting a huge amount of interest in the product, and people, all they have to do is to, receive our email in this case, or it might be on LinkedIn, or it might be through some other means, and then they go to one of our sites. It could be John's site directly, or it could be the site that John set up for me at MicroYes. It could be that they would all they would do is put in their, as John said, URL, their website address, and then sit back. And about 60 seconds or so later, you have this executive summary. Now, you've kind of done a traffic light thing, John, haven't you? You've kind of, it's quite gentle in a way, but I don't, last time I ran Finely Fettled, my company, it didn't have any red bits. It had some amber bits and a couple of greens. I was quite happy with that, to be honest with you, but it means there's a lot of work to get that full green. And so that, but the beauty is there's a bit of help. Tell us more.
Sorry, first of all, I'm passionate about this video. So, Kevin, if I jumped in the middle of you saying something, my bad.
Yeah, no, carry on. I know, the only point I was going to make before Graham started there was, well, Google these days, the very first thing you see in Google now is something back from Google Gemini, an AI summary, which seems to rank above all of the sponsored stuff on Google and is throwing more stuff off of page one because there isn't
Yes.
space for it anymore.
That absolutely correct. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that whatever you're providing it, you try to get into that box as efficiently as you can. So how do you make it? What ours was all about is how do we make ourselves accessible, right? So what Graham was saying is we put up roadblocks to these crawlers because we were taught to, because we didn't want these robots or these agents parsing our site because it becomes a pain and it became uneventful. But if you, for example, take something called robots.txt, and this is where you're going with Graham, we do it. It's structured to allow these bots certain aspects onto certain areas of your website. Well, one of the things you now need to do is you need to allow the GPT bots, the Google bots, the all the different ones. And what we tried to do is we tried to flag how accessible, how available, how repeatable when they actually do get to you, how are you flagged? And as Graham said, we have red, yellow, and green. And we give you tips on each category. And we built an agent that will help you step by step on how to fix your website. So we're not in the business of necessarily solving SEO, but we're making ourselves much more available. Because I think SEO is a little bit of a mug's game. That's a term, right? Like it's how many backlinks, how many words do I get? It's about how do I make sure that in this world of you think you build a website to be attractive to catch someone's eyes, but machines don't care about that. They're looking at the content and how do they get to the content and how do they parse that and how do they organize it so that it's referenceable very quickly in those little boxes on the search sites.
And so therefore, you need to have an understanding of almost like at skin level, what you're looking at, it looks really pretty. But as you were saying, John, underneath the bonnet, shall we say, underneath that skin, it might not be as pretty to the LLMs because they just can't, well, read your site. So again, this is the beauty of the AEO solution that you've come up with, because it's helping companies sort of plug those gaps. It's almost like raising all the boats. So you're at a higher level, much more likely to be found. And you can then do other things to be
Well,
more specific, an
exactly.
almost an SEO framework to it. But right now, I think it's almost like raising the level of the sea level, shall we say. And
Yes.
I think that's what we're trying to do with AEO.
Well, I work with a really brilliant person in Elisabetta Kuzetska, and it's funny how this kind of new economy works. And she's based in North Macedonia. I'm in Canada. Peter, my other partner, is in Waxahachie, Texas, and you're in Leeds, but we all can function very well. The really interesting thing that where we see this going is one, we want to fix our websites. Like, so for example, HTML tags have and landmarks have really changed. You used to put div, head, div, which I knew nothing about this 4 8 weeks ago. But now they want you to put head and main. And that structure allows the LLM to parse your site that much quicker. But where I get really interested in this is Betty has built a tool that takes our output from our executive summary. You can put it into the tool and it will help you start building content that is optimized for an LLM. So, like for example, when you'd write an article in the past, you would your byline about who you are, your authority. You would just put your name in the past. Well, now for the LLM, you put your name in a bit of a bio beside it. So it knows that you're credible. And then you start referencing things that becomes re-referenceable by the LLM to push you up that thread.
I know Elisabetta, and she is really she's remarkable, very, very well read, Just has a remarkable brain when it comes to sort of doing these AI agents. She'll create an AI agent that people really want to use. And as John says, well, that's almost like the next level. It's almost like this AI answer engine optimization solution is get to know about it, get onto that sort of site, put your website in there, get that free report that sort of signals, hey, these are the areas that it's really the top level. These are the areas you need to fix, or at least pay attention to. Then people were thinking, oh, okay, well, there's a few orange levels there, or there's a few red levels, but better do something about it. Well, at the same time, we give you access to the full report. It's a small fee. In the UK, we're talking about £24.95. That's broadly doubling Canadian dollars, but effectively, you've got that fee to pay, but you get this brilliant list of things to do that says just do these things. And if you are like me and you're not really technical, then you've got the AI agent that you can talk to and actually work your way through each bit. John, that's genius.
Well, it was sort of it was a bit of a crowd that came to get together. I did a LinkedIn post a couple of weeks ago about my experience of doing this, and what I thought was really valuable is input like someone like yours, Graham, in the process. I also kind of positioned that post to talk about, I think every leader should do this. Even if you don't ship a product, even if you don't do it, just understand how, whether it's Cursor, it's Replit, or whatever agent that you want to use to do this vibe coding, just to experience how it functions. Because that also enlightened me going through this about what these agents are looking for and how they need to work. So like semantic landmarks are really important to them. Again, 5 weeks ago, what's a semantic landmark? And that's the thing. And so what we've done is we've broken this out in a step-by-step way to make it easy for you to understand that and at least position your site to be easily read, right? Get seen. Because
Can I
essentially
make an
you're
observation?
invisible.
Kevin?
We've talked a lot with people about whether AI is going to get rid of jobs, reduce jobs. And it's interesting just listening to you speak, John, about what you've learned in the last 8, 10 weeks while developing this. I think there's a whole new economy developing around people that understand how AI works and how to train AI models.
It's really insightful. I even expanded a little bit. I'm in conversations, which I can't say what it is, with a few automotive companies, and they support the automotive industry. And everyone knows they're in turmoil right now, right? But they have a domain expertise that is so valuable, that understanding how the LLMs work and how they produce data. They have an opportunity to position themselves and to expand their business as an authority because I don't know if you've seen it or not. I know I have seen it. I'm seeing all sorts of research reports that come out that are useless right now because it might be 80% good, but in a research report, 80% isn't good enough. You need to fill it in. And so there's a lot of people, like there's a chart that I've seen is what AI does is makes good better. Right. So there's a skill level you still need. And those people that are the domain authorities. So to your point, Kevin, is if you can understand how they function, and that was sort of my journey that I was on with the team. And B2B is really hard. It's not like I'm just pushing something out. I'm taking my company's proprietary data. I don't want to give it to everyone in the world. I just want to make it more leverageable for me. Does that make sense what I'm getting at? So I absolutely do think there's some things that are going to get smashed. No
Actually,
question.
that was one of my key questions in this, John. And a lot of the time when we're building out websites, we're putting a lot of information there. But the whole purpose of that information is to pique somebody's curiosity, to persuade them that we've got an answer to their problem, but not tell them what that answer is, to persuade them to press a button to ask for more information. Now, what my worry is right now in everything you're describing is to say, well, hang on a minute. In order to rank in the AI engine, then you've got to give them all of that solution that was sitting behind closed doors. Isn't there something that doesn't quite gel there?
Well, so that's why what I haven't even really shared with Graham, part of what I've been working on is a reference architecture for these companies. But we're having some fun, Graham and I. We just recently did an email blast. We're testing, are people interested in this AEO? I'm going to get to exactly what you said in a second, but we've got what, like a 55, 60% open rate, Graham? It's like
Yeah, very high.
ridiculous.
It's very
We got a
high.
20.
I've never had an open rate as high as that in an email campaign before, but it's been touching 78%. So it's just staggering.
Really, Kevin, we got a 20% click-through rate. So they're going to it. But we've got a very modest take-up rate because I think people are afraid to put a link in anywhere. So we've also created this culture that we're bombarded with so much information, what's real and what's fake. And that's why, as we evolve this thing, being an
John,
authority.
there's a huge appetite from people I've found to learn more about AI because my day job is looking after tech partnerships and grow CFO. So I'm talking to fintech companies and arranging to do webinars with them. I know that if I simply put AI in the title of a webinar, I will double the attendance. If we put AI, education in AI, into an email, we will get a fantastic open rate. We'll get a fantastic click-through rate. So I'm not at all surprised in what you're telling me.
Yeah,
And so
I think there's subtlety. I think the AI is becoming, it's a bit like the word quality was in the 90s. At the end of the day, it was almost overused, and I think it becomes almost like Hoover. But I don't think we're there yet. But the end of the day, one of the things that people want, it's not really the tech. It's the answers that they want for their business. And if you're looking for new clients, my own experience of this, almost alongside this effort that I've been putting in with John, is that people kept ringing my Finally Fettle business about my high net worth database, and said, "Found you on chat. Found you on Perplexity." But that was an interesting one, Perplexity. Okay, and I found you on various. And this isn't new, but the fact that I've been trading for about 11 years, and the website's there, and I'm spending money on Google, etc., and I rank quite well naturally for those things, I think that's translating quite well into the world of LLMs. And so when people are searching, "Give me a good source of high net worth data in the UK," bang, they find me. They also find one or two other companies, usually bigger than me, but basically, mercifully, I usually come top. So not a position that West Ham often find themselves in. But what can I say, John? That's
well, if you're going to throw that out, I think I mentioned to you, what is this day in history, November the 7th?
Oh, well, the plan is to release this 500th episode on the 7th of November, and John's got a forensic mind, and he's come up with
You
something
can
that happened
say it.
in history.
You've got to tell him. You've got to tell him.
1966, what happened, Graham?
I just can't bring myself to say what it was,
West Ham 7, Leeds nil.
Oh, brilliant,
yeah,
brilliant.
but I think we put out the kids on that occasion,
Yeah,
but
we'll not remind him about the 1973 FA Cup final.
No, we won't. We don't, yeah.
No, we had enough of that. But however, life's changing, and as we speak, we're playing West Ham a week tomorrow, so that'll be interesting.
Just to your point, you've done a really good job on Finally Fettled. It's a really good use case. So, and you've got your backlinks and you've got your authority and you've got everything. So like when I run the score on you come up green and optimize, you come up green in authority. We have some challenges with accessibility because we're blocking certain things and we're going to work on how we fix that. But that's not that that becomes an easy task once you've got that insight. But here's, this, adding an FAQ section to your website is just so important for the LLM. And it's not giving them two or three words, it's giving them two or three sentences. So you're mapping a question to an answer so that when it can grab that, it grabs it in context, right? Those are easy tips. That's not hard to fix and make yourself more available. So by default, It's too early. Anyone that's going to say to you, "I can guarantee you, I'm going to get you in the top three," they're not telling you the
They're
truth.
not
I'm
genuine.
sorry.
No, I think I like to put it in this way, that if you haven't bought a ticket, then you're not going to be at the races. But at least if
Right.
you bought a ticket, that you got a chance of winning. And I
Right.
think, and
Right.
it's not, but it's not a guarantee of winning. And I
Thank you.
think that's the important thing. But if you've not put any effort into this, then well, you're going to get the same level.
Graham, we're not talking expensive
No, not at
fixes.
all.
We're talking just being thoughtful fixes. And that's what that was the intent of this. I wanted to make our site better for it. And it was really.
It becomes then, I mean, strategically, we have been thinking about this behind the product, etc. But it becomes an opportunity to express other things that we're involved in with AI agents and various things like that, Kevin. So it's not just about AEO, but I think AEO is absolutely fascinating because it genuinely is one of those for the many, not for the few. And I think everybody can benefit from this.
Well, absolutely. And I think that was what I was getting to, the reference framework that we were working on and you're partaking in is like even to understand about how the LLMs associate your data in a vector database and how you actually can structure your information to be found. The vector database is just the way that the LLMs get their context and get their insights so that you can pull it in. Knowing that in advance, like when I first started this a year and a half ago or 2 years ago in AI specific, I was told you build a RAG. So what I mean is, you're throwing your information in, you put it in your own little repository, you send that context to the LLM, so it's advised and knows how it works. I'm trying to do this in simple terms, but what you really do is you need to prepare your information before you send it up, so it's that much more easily readable. And that's the things that we've learned because of doing something like this.
I've got to say, we should credit where credit is due, and Elizabeth has done sterling work in that area. But sort of organ, it's almost like being, she's almost like, if she is listening to this, it seems to me that she's like a sort of a mixture between James Bond and a librarian, because she can sort things out, but she's super cool doing it. So I mean, and I think the idea of actually sorting out your data so it's easily got at by the agent, brilliant stuff. She's really a top-notch person.
It's a misunderstood language. I think we're calling it other data scientists or context engineering. People have talked about a prompt engineer. That's just sending a prompt in. We're talking about organizing your information so that it's readily available and readable so that it becomes referenceable, right? And that's how you're going to get your answer engine optimization. To your point earlier, Kevin, how much of your information do you give to those models? Because that by default almost becomes sort of public domain. So does your,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
So,
That's my worry. If you've got a methodology to do something, that it's your methodology that you might trademark, you might copyright, you don't want to get that in the public domain.
well, here's my take is we are still so much on the front end of things. And there's a group of about 10 of us, and I look at it. We have an the world's so big, this opportunity is so big. It's if we can share and we can develop and we can build a better offering together, then let's do it. It's still hard work. Don't let's not kid ourselves. But for example, we're in talking to a customer right now that has a sales team, and they want to use consistent best practices. So we're building them sort of a sales assistant that sits in their own Google domain, Vertex. It doesn't go off, the data doesn't go off and get trained somewhere else, but you could do this in your Microsoft or your Azure domain. So it doesn't go off. And all of a sudden, when in real time, when they're talking to a customer or they can make available to a customer, they can have those answers, the best practices approach on how to sell and how to move things and how to actually bring that product information. Because the one thing that I have found is, and this was Graham's brilliance, we did that email campaign. We used one of our test modes that we weren't getting a response to. And he sent another email. If you're afraid to click the link, you can just send me back your email and I will run the link for you. And he got three or four people to actually do it. It wasn't a massive list, but this whole idea is how trusting are we to keep automatically just pressing something that we don't know about, right?
I think spammers and so forth have done irreparable damage to the email marketing channel, and so you have to be, I suppose, more human. And that's one thing we are, Kevin. Well, you're not really, because you're a finance guy. I mean, you're not that human.
Well, Graham, I think, there's a position to say, well, what is valuable? as you go forward in this world of AI. And the thing that is becoming valuable is the human. Okay? I mean, over the last couple of years, we've had this debate a lot in CFO, where essentially we are an education company. And nope, originally, we were producing all the content ourselves and taking a lot of time out. Then we realized that actually ChatGPT could produce this content. And then we realized, well, hang on a minute, we're no longer unique as Grow CFO, because if we can produce it, anybody can produce it.
Well,
And the
and if
whole
you
value of a course has gone out the window because somebody can create a whole course in about 10 minutes using ChatGPT. What they cannot recreate.
But therein lies
Yeah.
your problem. Unless you're the expert, how do you know that course is actually correct?
Well, yeah, and this is our point now, because we realize that where we add value isn't in necessarily selling the self-paced learning. It's selling the course that goes that one step further, where you've got an expert CFO delivering it and has the real-life experiences that we're talking about. There's a human that gets the value.
But we know one of the things that sort of kind of builds on that point, I think, is that when people get the full report and they've got an AI agent, some, and we've had this conversation, I've had the conversation locally with a number of people, and said some of them will just want somebody to do it. They'll
Yes.
just want a
Seven.
human to do it. Now, yes, the human is still applying the tech, but some people will just want somebody to help them. So there's a different aspect to this. But at the end of the day, the entrepreneur gets where he wants to get to, in as short a time period as possible without spending the earth. And I think that I'm really proud that I've kind of teamed up with you, John, because the one of the things I think we're trying to do here is improve not just, a few, but we potentially could improve the many. And I think if we can do that, everybody's got a website. Most businesses will have a website of some sort. You have to be a pretty unique business not to have a website, but to have a website. But if you want that to work for you better than it is right now, then really for a very modest, I mean, I would call it for the price of a prawn cocktail, you can basically have a you could have a very, very strong you can improve your website massively, and then you're in danger of getting found by ChatGPT and others to present you as an option. And because when they do provide these answers, give me an who could I get my high net worth data from in the UK? There's only usually two or three of us, three maybe three sometimes. And I think, one of them happens to be one of the very big data companies, and then there's me. So to get into that top two or three, I don't think either Leeds or West Ham are likely to get into the top two or three this year. Not even your Newcastle, Kevin.
No, I don't
So
think
it's
I'm this year. No.
Are you a Geordie?
Yeah, of course I am. Why I'm
Oh, my brother-in-law's a Geordie. There you go. Gateshead.
Yeah, other side of the river, proper side of the river. You gotta have a passport to go over the river at Gateshead.
But I think the thing is, it's if you're giving yourself the option of being found, and I think that's really important.
Yes.
And you don't have to be a genius.
Well,
So I mean, go on,
I
John.
want to. Can I focus on that one? I think that's really, really important, Graham. We did this because I was trying to learn. And so we tried to put it in layman's terms. Now, we brought in people who were experts and they saw the results that were provided and helped me modify. That was my point about Jay. He came in and we restructured it and we rethought about it. But the idea, even to where you're going, Kevin, on the data, like I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a very, very senior at an insurance company, and they can't use AI yet because they have to be able to audit why you were rejected. And if they used AI to actually do that analysis, they can't actually tell you exactly where you were rejected in the process, meaning an LLM, large language model. Like they can do machine learning to do the predictive modeling. And that was one of the things we talked about this for reference framework. But what this does is this AEO helps you understand in layman's terms, what can I do? But then it also kind of unlocks your mind on what can I else I can do in my business. And especially for small and medium-sized, large, small and medium-sized businesses, you might not have a BI analyst in your company, business intelligence analyst. But we've been working even with another customer that have asked us to figure out a lifetime value. So we've taken all the data, we put it in a structured organization, we've actually done the maths, and then we feed it into the LLM with correct maths and say, now give me the insight. Like, wow. Like that is, I'm not asking them to add one plus one. I'm saying, here's the numbers. Now help me find insight based on this criteria. It's shocking. And that helps me leverage the business, 5x, 10x, whatever the number is. It's
Yeah, and
definitely.
that's stuff that I'm talking to fintech companies about all
Yeah.
the time. You know, pulling insights out of piles and piles of data
You
in,
bet.
and it's what's going on there is getting starting to get really powerful. But John, I do have a specific question for you.
Sure.
In the role that I do, I'll just take this as an example. I am writing white papers. Okay. The sorts of things you would put on a website to be an authority. Now, what's my process for writing a white paper? Well, I start off, I've got a subject, and I have got an angle that I want to give on this. But what will I do to start off with? I'll put ChatGPT into deep research mode and say, go find out about this. Much in the same way, back in PwC, as a management consultant, you'd find a graduate trainee and send them off for a week to do some research. Difference is, ChatGPT comes back with the answer in about 10 minutes. Now, I then, using that answer, I structure the white paper. Now, and I'll publish that. I'll use it to promote some events and things like that. Now, if that's the sort of material that I'm putting together, which is good, deep material. You're talking about a 30, 40 page document that is going to be up there on the website. It is going to be searchable. If a lot of the research to put that together has come from AI, is AI in turn going to rank my take on it?
So I can tell you what I've read,
Okay.
and I can tell you what I might infer, but I don't have factual answers for you.
Right.
There has been an effort in some of the AI engines to watermark their information with characters or symbols embedded into your documentation that may or may not be visible so that a machine to machine could read it. But you don't necessarily read it yourself. So in the ASCII code or in the text or other evolutions of it. So I don't know the answer to that because I don't program the LLMs. I'm trying to learn very quickly on the fly and stay at the front end of it. But it's an excellent point. One of the things that we have done, and this is what I was saying is Betty, based on the report that we run for companies, we figure out the citation issues. So she built a whole framework to help you build that research report, including how do you initiate your initial prompt? So how to structure it, how to find it, what are the things that you want to ask for? What are the references and citations that you want to add to it? How to add your authority and credibility to it so when you actually do publish it, that's all
And that's
incorporated.
interesting. When I last quarter's research report had an annex at the back of it with about 30 or 40 citations that kind of reference bits in the text, particularly if we were quoting a figure that 40% of companies in this survey reported whatever. So we've got a reference to say it wasn't our survey. We had a reference in the back of the report to say whose survey it was.
Isn't it a bit like students who effectively copy other people's work for their assignments? So,
Well,
because there is software out there, because I'm
but you're
aware
doing
of that.
citation, you're referencing it, and you're doing it in a thoughtful way,
And
and you're correct.
that's one thing. But I do know that, I mean, because my colleague Faiza, she basically has to submit her final MSc project, which is going to be about the business. But at the end of the day, she can't just copy bits of other people's work, because they have these programs that can sort of run through. And it seems to me the same sort of answer to your query, because it seems to me that their software will pattern recognize the things that she could have written that might be other people's work. So it must be incredibly difficult right now to be not tempted just to press the easy button. if you're a student or if you're writing content.
You
So
can be tracked. They're referencing it, and there's that's what I was trying to get at, the embedded functions. What Kevin was really asking was, do they give their AI content a higher ranking than unique content?
yeah.
I don't know the answer to that, right? So that was that. That's the. But your point is really well taken, Graham.
I just think there's, I mean, what do you think, Kevin? What's the answer to your own question?
I don't really know, which is why I floated the question.
Yeah, but what's your instinct though?
My instinct says that, hang on, I was writing this report to be useful to a CFO to gather information from many sources into one place. I was citing the documents that it came from, which might be a research report from PwC, State of the Economy report from Deloitte, or whatever, and putting them there. And the purpose of those citations is actually to say, well, hang on, this isn't AI hallucinating, this is real stuff.
The biggest challenge I have with that is this, and I've only just recently understood what this phrase means, but have you come across it, John? I'm sure you must have done. TLDR. Too long, didn't read. Now, if, I mean, intelligent people, would they have any amount of time to get even hesitate to have a go at 40 pages worth of content rather
And
than maybe taking that 40 pages and have that in a library that an AI could actually, you could interrogate an AI?
you are on fire.
Well,
That's the other thing. There's so much content out there right now,
yes.
and they're so easy to make you sound great and better. And what's believable? And that's what I'm, that domain expertise. If you can elevate yourself to the position of being that authority.
Yeah.
You know what? There's always going to be this run to quick money. And so people are going to say they can do things, but I think you got to build on value,
Yeah.
right? And that's,
Yeah, this
at least
is
that's what I
getting
was taught,
smaller
right?
and smaller
So
and
maybe
better
I'm
things.
wrong, right?
Well, I one example, Kevin, is that one of the things that Pfizer and I are concentrating on separately to AEO is to target publishers of books, a book, you know, somebody who's an authored a book, to stick an AI on the an AI agent on the back of it. So basically, it's almost like extend the story. Read the book, or probably don't read the book, and actually have a conversation with the AI agent. So you get a, it's you know you've there are concepts in there, but you want to sort of work it through, and the agent will help you understand. And I think that is more of a future than maybe a long report. I could see the value if you've got the time to read it, fair enough, but so many people don't have that now.
But
So,
it's that same thing, Graham, that we've actually had this for a long while. Go back to Google and SEO. We've talked on this podcast before about length of blog posts to rank. And the last that I heard about SEO and what you needed was regular blog posts of 2,500 words
that's it.
that are being referenced by other people. Now, great, you can go out and write that 2,500 word blog post just to get some SEO. But that same thing comes up. Who on earth is going to read it? Now, I think the
Clever.
white paper is a little bit different because you start with an executive summary. You're putting some key highlights in. It's a very visual, very graphical thing. It's the sort of thing you can give it a quick read by reading the headlines on each page, and you can home in on the bits of it that interest you. So I think it's not too much of a who's going to read
It's
that,
Kevin,
but
it's a good point.
it's that same thing.
It's a good point, but I one of the things I want to be able to do before we close is ask John, because he's a future man. You're seeing the future with the AEO product. Describe to us on our 500th podcast something of the future. It's going to be something to do with AI, it's something to do with AEO, something to do with agents, etc. But have you got a different take on the future, John?
I'm going to keep the optimistic side of the world going with it. And I'm going to parallel where Kevin started. I have an automation that runs me a state of my market every month. So every month I have an automation that gives me a new A new report on AEO versus SEO. It's pretty good. I know I read it. I give it guardrails, Kevin. I say no more than 10 pages. I'm not going to read it. So even with your executive summary, whatever, like 40 page result, if you want that, there's got to be ways to link that and go off it. I'm really, really curious about Gemini Pro 3. What's going to be in it? Which is the next version of Google. So at the time of this, we're in, it's imminent. That's a week away or 2 weeks away. Could it change everything that we're working on, Grant? Possibly. But I think the real enablement of B2B into AI is going to start. And it's a lot harder, in my opinion, than B2C, if that makes sense. So I think we will start finding routines or processes that can really enable and make people more productive and produce better quality results. And I look forward to that. I also think there's other things that might change, but I'm excited about how much better these models are. And if I can encourage anyone, is you just got to learn. Like, you got to spend the time and play with it. And that was my vibe coding exercise and why we built the product, right? So, but we built the product from the knowledge we were seeking, Graham. So from a future, I think anyone's going to be able to build something like that. A
Yeah.
tool, an agent, an automation. I think privacy is always going to be the biggest one. It's always my largest concern. But how do you manage that? How do you structure that in an effective way?
John, you've been an absolutely sterling guest on the next 100 days on our 500th episode. Thank you for joining Kevin and I.
This was really fun. Thank you for having me.
Graham, 500 episodes. So when we started 10 years ago, nobody had heard of AI. Here we are, episode 500. We've talked about nothing but AI and all sorts of exciting things that are coming along. I mean, this venture that you and John have got going, I just wish you all the best for that. And the ideal place to tell the world about that was definitely episode 500. But hey.
Yeah, I'm glad because I think John's really very, very capable, and he's creating a bit of a future that I'm very happy to be associated with. Because, I do stress again that this is really quite straightforward. You can get your results, and let's just keep it at a really simple level. You can just put your website in; it will give you some results. It's an exec summary, and then if you want the further detail, 25 quid, and you've got it, and it'll take about a minute. So effectively, you get all of that, and then you've got the access to the AI agent that will enable you to implement. So it's not difficult. It's a question of, have you got the, you've probably got somebody in your organization who could do that,
Yep.
who could just, and I think that's the key thing here. But take action. All right. It's
Graham,
been,
I think you will look back and think about the next 100 days as a theme.
yeah.
We started off with we both exited big corporates, so it was how what do you do in your first 100 days after quitting corporate, and lots of escape stories, and we've looked at lots of problems. I think now going forward, we're almost honing down onto one issue. What are you going to do about AI in the next 100 days?
Well, we could narrow that way, but I'm in favor of keeping us fairly general. And because we get some fascinating guests,
We do.
and I get reminded of them, Kevin, when we do these compilations of guest, what do they think? How did they feel that we treated them and all that kind of stuff, and their testimonials. And it reminds me that we've had some absolutely amazing people, all different. And different types of people, different countries, different skill levels, and but at the end of the day, one thing that seems to go right through is passion,
Yes.
and I think they get that from us. I think we
And
listen to them, but we also, there's rare that you get two people on a podcast sort of interviewing, so I think it's you've got
I
a wonderful
think it's
formula.
passion, Graham, but what brings that passion out? It is both of us curious.
Definitely.
And it's that curiosity actually keeps us doing this.
Well, somebody also gave a testimonial recently that said that it was part comedy, part fun, part business. And you think, well, it is. It's all those things because we're just human, and humans don't just go through life with one. Well, all right, financial people do, but most humans don't go through. That you're an exception. But basically, we have humor and fun in our lives, so that's what you'd want in the podcast. But it's been well, it's been 10 years, Kevin. So, but I'm really looking forward, and we've got some brilliant guests lined up for the next few episodes. So let's just see where we
So at
go.
the beginning of the year, Graham, we nearly said, let's
Well,
call
yeah, I mean,
it. No, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So
we could
let's go do
update.
another 500,
Well,
Graham.
about another 500. Well, I mean, I think I might well be retired by then. But the truth of it is it's one of those things that we could actually continue to do post-retirement. As long as we stay curious, as long as we have fun, as long as Leeds are actually right at the top of the Premier League, then it would be just brilliant to continue. On that note, on the 500th episode, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.